This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. In April, President Obama signed two executive orders intended to help erase the gender pay gap. One required businesses with federal contracts not to retaliate against employees who share salary information with each other. It was kind of a mini version of legislation proposed by Senator Barbara Mikulski of Maryland, which would have applied to all private employers. Her bill, the Paycheck Fairness Act, fell 6 votes short of passing in the Senate. A few days before the Senate vote in early April, we talked about the president's executive orders and the proposed law with Deborah Eisenberg, law professor at the University of Maryland. She studies employment law, and last spring she testified before Congress for the Paycheck Fairness Act. I asked her to sort out the statistics about the gender pay gap. Here in Maryland, it's said to be 85 cents or maybe 88 cents on the dollar, less than the national pay gap. I also asked her whether these salary statistics take into account all kinds of jobs.
Yes. So the rhetoric about the pay gap tends to be very polarizing on both sides. The pay gap information comes from Census Bureau statistics, and the aggregate number tends to be full-time year-round workers. If you look a little bit closer into those statistics of women and men performing in the same occupations, the pay gap may vary, and it tends to get higher for women who have more education, who are at higher levels, and it also tends to increase for women who are working more hours.
So it's actually a smaller gap between wages of men and women in lower paid jobs.
Yes, so there is still a gap in lower paid jobs, but it tends to be less of a gap. So it tends to be women making about, 95 cents on every dollar earned by a man. One of the things that I've written about in my scholarship is that as women move into higher paid positions, wages tend to not be as certain, not be a set. There's more room for negotiation. There's more room for disparities between folks who are performing the same jobs. So you actually see that the pay gap increases for upper level jobs.
One of the president's executive orders and the legislation would allow employees to talk with each other about how much they make. Is that often banned? I mean, do employers actually actively stop that?
Yes, I think, in the United States, it's kind of taboo to talk about wages or money in the workplace. I think we know more about, the houses we buy and the cars we buy than the most important economic decision that we make, which is our job. And so studies have shown that in about half of workplaces, employees are either strictly forbidden or there's kind of an unwritten rule that you just don't talk about wages in the workplace. And that kind of pay secrecy, especially if it's combined with pay practices that are not very well defined or that are ambiguous, can really allow disparities to start small, but then snowball over time. And if no one knows about it, no one will make demands that it be fixed.
Yeah, snowball, because if your pay raise is based on what you already make, if you're already behind, you're just going to fall further behind. The second executive order would require contractors to provide data to the Labor Department about their employees' pay along with their race and gender. What would the federal government use that information for?
Well, I think there are probably two goals with that. I think the first goal is to encourage voluntary compliance. So the mere act of reporting the wages will hopefully encourage employers to be more mindful about what they're paying people in similarly situated jobs, and hopefully correct problems. The whole idea of sunshine being the best disinfectant, which a former Supreme Court justice mm-hmm. once said, that if employers are required to take a look at this and report it, that they're going to be more mindful and correct disparities before they turn into fodder for litigation. So that's the first goal. And then I think the second goal is to get more information so that if there are problems, they can be detected and corrected, and so that there can be more study and analysis of what is actually happening out there in terms of wages in the workplace.
This is Maryland Morning on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Deborah Eisenberg, law professor at the University of Maryland, who specializes in employment law. Do you have an idea of how many women in Maryland will be directly affected as workers for federal contractors?
I don't have an exact statistic. And, you know, a lot of folks in Maryland work for the federal government or work for contractors, but I do not know how many.
What kind of impact do you see the executive order having on them? How do you think this is going to play out?
Well, again, I think it goes back to that awareness point. I think that this debate about equal pay is very healthy because it helps women to think about and maybe ask around to see what's going on in their own workplaces. So hopefully by raising this debate and raising this awareness that women will start to arm themselves with a little bit more information.
But as you said earlier, there's sort of a taboo, a social taboo about talking about how much we earn. I mean, do you think women are really going to push through that and start talking to each other about it?
Well, you know, that it's very uncomfortable. It's a very uncomfortable thing to do. I think that, you know, part of the reason some of the studies show that women are good negotiators, but they tend not to have access to the same level of information about what their value really is in the workplace. And so as uncomfortable as it might be, I would encourage women to do their homework, to gather information about what folks in similar positions are making, because studies show that when women are armed with that kind of information, gender pay disparities can be reduced or eliminated altogether.
The Paycheck Fairness Act, in addition to lifting the ban on talking about salary all employees, it would also provide funding for women and girls to get training in how to negotiate. Are there any challenges in providing that sort of education for one particular class of people? I mean, why is it necessary?
Well, studies have shown that it's an issue in the modern economy because a lot of wages are set by a negotiation process, and if that negotiation is happening under conditions of pay secrecy, and in workplaces where the pay system might be more ambiguous, that studies show that disadvantages women in particular. So the goal of this training is to help women become more comfortable with negotiating in the context of some of the prescriptive norms or sex stereotypes in which we're negotiating. So for a woman to ask for more pay or to sort of stand up for herself a little bit sometimes can backfire. And so this training is aimed at teaching women to negotiate in a way that will not be counterproductive.
But what do you say to people who say, look, negotiation is a business skill. If women don't employ it well and therefore don't end up with the fruits of being good negotiators, that's their problem. That's not really the employer's problem.
I think the goal is to level the playing field. You know, the reality is, and studies have shown that, women are excellent negotiators when we're negotiating for other folks. For a lawyer representing a client, or we're negotiating for a friend or a family member, we can get the same or better results than a man. But when we're negotiating for ourselves, women can actually be penalized for seeming too aggressive, too pushy. So the playing field is not very level when it comes to women in the workplace. There are still a lot of these sort of unconscious biases and stereotypes with which we have to navigate.
Well, okay, say a woman who's listening is not employed by a federal contractor, so the executive orders won't affect her directly. Maybe she feels she's not getting a fair deal. What should she do?
Well, information is power. So I think the first thing to do is to, get all the information about what your value is. What is the employer paying other folks in similar positions? What is the market out there for the pay? And think about how to raise that in a way that will create value both for you as an employee and for the employer. And I would say if that doesn't work, then to perhaps get some more information about, what legal options might be.
Deb Eisenberg is professor of law at the University of Maryland. She testified on behalf of the Paycheck Fairness Act on Capitol Hill. We have more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Just ahead, Aubrey Bodine's great images of great Maryland workers. Stay tuned for that on 88.1.
Thank you.